The Old Testament reading for the third Sunday after Pentecost is from Ezekiel chapter 17. Thus says the Lord God, I myself will take a sprig from the lofty top of the cedar and will set it out. I will break off from the topmost of its young twigs a tender one, and I myself will plant it on a high and lofty mountain. On the mountain height of Israel will I plant it, that it may bear branches and produce fruit and become a noble cedar. And under it will dwell every kind of bird. In the shade of its branches, birds of every sort will nest. And all the trees of the field shall know that I am the Lord. I bring low the high tree and make high the low tree, dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. I am the Lord. I have spoken and I will do it. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. On your wondrous works I will meditate, and I will declare your greatness. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We know that if the tent, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this tent we groan, longing to put on our heavenly dwelling, if indeed by putting it on we may not be found naked. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may receive what is due for what he has done in the body, whether good or evil. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the fourth chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come." And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable shall we use for it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which, when sown on the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables he spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples he explained everything. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The sermon for this morning is based on the gospel reading from St. Mark. Please be seated. You know, if it were up to me, everyone who ever visits our church would come back every week and become members. If it were up to me, all the people who have floated away since the COVID scare and have not yet been back would be back. If it were up to me, All the people who join our church would never move away and leave us, ever. If it were up to me, our church would be full every week with all our members in attendance. If it were up to me. But maybe that's asking too much. Perhaps my goals are a little too ambitious. So let's make them a little smaller. If it were up to me, all of you would have a faith so strong that it could never be shaken. If it were up to me, all the folks who have fallen away from our church would come back, and all who are experiencing trials and troubles would be made whole and healthy once again. If it were up to me, I would always have the answers to all your questions and always know just the right thing to say when you come to me for comfort or counsel. If it were up to me, you and our church wouldn't have any problems. No doubts, no fears, no crises, no difficulties, no knock the wind out of you surprises, ever. Only joy and peace and all things pleasant and nice. If it were up to me. If it were up to me, wouldn't our church be great? Well, actually, no. Because even though I may think such a church would be great, and you may think such a church would be great, and even the world may think such a church would be great, the truth is, we don't know what makes a church great. What did Jesus say in today's gospel? The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. Or in other words, it's not up to me or you. It is God's church, and only He can grow it. Only He knows how. And notice how it said it happened. By itself. The Greek word there is automate, where we get the word automatically. It happens automatically, by itself. And the good news that we heard today is that He is growing it. Through the seed of His word, He is working in the world. He is working in the church. He is working in your friends and family, and He is working in you. Even if you can't see it, if the growth is all underground, even if you don't know how, even if it seems as if the very opposite of growth is happening, it is God's kingdom, God's church, and He is growing it. Which means that God knows when we need peace. He also knows when we need struggle in order to grow. He grants growth and He prunes. Sometimes He has to cut back to grow. He knows when to make the sun shine, when to make the rain fall. Could use that. And yes, even when to apply the crap, the manure, the fertilizer. He makes the seed of His word grow in His time, not our time. We may want it to grow sooner and faster and stronger and bigger, but we cannot do it. We know not how. But He whose seed it is, He knows. And He can grant growth. And His promise to you today is that He will. For as the Lord said through the prophet Ezekiel in our Old Testament reading, I am the Lord, I have spoken, and I will do it. And do we need that promise? Because as Christians and as the church, how easy it is for us to lose our confidence in the Lord and His word. How easy to think that we know better, that we can do it, or worse, that we have to do it, that everything depends on us somehow, through programs and methods and social sciences. You know, these things aren't necessarily bad, but to rely on them, that's when doubt and worry and fear take over. That's when we become burdened and weary. And not only in the church, but in our lives as Christians. Because we've forgotten or lost confidence in His promise. I am the Lord, I have spoken, I will do it. God is growing His church. And that's not just now. But think back through the history of God's people, all the way back to the beginning. We keep messing it up. But did God not do it? Did He not keep and preserve and grow His kingdom? From Adam and Eve to Abraham, Jacob and Joseph, did God not do it? From Israel and slavery in Egypt to the time of the judges, did God not do it? From David to Solomon to the people of God hauled off as prisoners of war in Babylon, did God not do it? From a small dinky band of 12 apostles through persecutions and martyrs, even to a little monk in Wittenberg, Germany, did God not do it? From communist countries that tried to stamp out the church but couldn't, to countries that even now try to behead the church but can't, is God not doing it? And still today, even with apathy and unbelief everywhere, especially in our country, is God not doing it? For what credit can you take for being here at this time in this place? What credit can we take for this church? Did I give anyone faith? Did you give anyone faith? Did not God do it? Is He not working? And will He not continue? Now, to say that it is all God's doing is not an excuse for inaction or laziness on our part. Don't get me wrong. To think that if God is doing it, you know, then we can just sit back and not do anything at all. No. Rather, it is an invitation to live our lives and our vocations, our callings, in faith. To keep reaching out and doing all that we can for each other, but to do what we do in faith. To not get discouraged if we don't see results, but to scatter the seed of God's word and know that He will grant the growth. It's His church, and He'll grow it as He sees fit. Now, I guess you could say the reason we don't always believe that God will actually do what He says is because sin has made our vision spiritually distorted. When we look around, we don't always see a kingdom of God that looks lush and green, do we? Sometimes it looks downright brown and dead in us, in others, and in the church. When we're going through struggles, when we see what's happening to others, when we see all the nonsense going on in the church and around us in the world today. But you know, that's how it is with God. That's what we're going to see sometimes and the way it's going to seem sometimes. Because growth for God starts with what? Death. He kills in order to make alive. That's what we heard from the prophet Ezekiel in conjunction with God's promise in the Old Testament. I bring low the high tree and I make high the low tree, dry up the green tree and make the dry tree flourish. And the foremost example of that is the cross, where the Son of God was put to death and then planted in the ground. I dare say that things never looked so dry and bleak and dead to the apostles and for the kingdom of God than that Saturday between Good Friday and Easter morning. But from that tree of death, from that seed planted in the ground, came life. Life from the dead. And though it may have looked like only a tiny mustard seed in the course of world history at that time, in that dry Good Friday tree made green on Easter Sunday was packed the death of all and the life of the whole world, the entire forgiveness of every sin, the resurrection of all the dead, and the reconciliation of the world to God. You might not have been able to see it at the time. All may have looked dead and dry. but God was planting paradise again, a new tree of life for the life of the world. And so it is still today. In you and me and all who in is planted the seed of God's word. For where God plants his word, there he plants his cross, his death and resurrection. He brings you low in order to raise you up. He dries you up in order to make you green. He kills in order to give life. That whatever in us is working against him, our sin, our pride, our desire for self-sufficiency, our reliance on our numbers, our income, or our members, our desire to be the master of all that we have, that all that be brought low, be dried up and die, that we may be raised up to life in him. And no ordinary life we're talking about here, but eternal life. And that's why, as St. Paul said in the epistle, we walk by what? Faith, not by sight. For our sight is way off, spiritually speaking. Our sight may judge the work of God wrongly and think things dry and dead and lost. But faith trusts the promise of God. That things are not as they look or seem, but they are as God says they are. And God is working and growing his church. His ways may seem as small as a mustard seed to us, but do not be deceived. The word of God that you and I speak to others, the water of holy baptism, the word of holy absolution, and the body and blood of Holy Communion are giving life and granting growth. Because in all these things is not our power, but the power of the gospel, the power of God, the power of the death and resurrection of Jesus, forgiving sins, raising the dead, and giving faith. Faith to know it's not up to me. Faith to believe that what I see today may not be the way things are tomorrow. Faith to rely confidently on him and his ways to build his church and to save me and you. Only he can do it. There's much to do and much to worry about in this world if you're looking for it. But in the end, you can't even save yourself, let alone others. But there is one who can and who has done, past tense. You have his forgiveness and life. He has planted his word in your heart and made it grow. And he is keeping you. You have his promise. And though you may feel as small as a mustard seed in this world and think that all that you can do is just as small, remember that that mustard seed that you have and that you scatter is one powerful seed. For that seed is the word and power of God to forgive sin and raise the dead. The word and power of the cross. The word and power of his love. So scatter that seed recklessly. Sow it with joy when and where you have opportunity. And at the end of the day, sit down and relax in faith that it is at work, even if we know not how. Trust. Rest in the branches of the cross. Your Savior is working in you, in others, in the world, doing all that is necessary and all that we need. He promised. In the name of Jesus, amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.